Good morning, everyone. We had a pretty busy weekend, so I want to just acknowledge and thank everybody who participated. I know there was a women's conference on Friday and Saturday that people were a part of. We had an outreach on Saturday morning that people attended, and we are starting this building project. You don't have to have the skills if you want to get involved in that. Not many people have the skills to build something, but as you see up here, we're going to build like the stage up here. You see the tape, and we're going to build a media center and all that stuff. It's going to be a huge undertaking, but we're going to try to build it as safe as possible because I don't want to fall through and hurt myself. So we're going to try our best. We're going to do it this week. So if you have just any willingness to serve and any time to be able to serve, I highly encourage you just to come out. It can be just for a day or two, and just to see what's going on and just be a part of that. So please come out. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, and it's not a word that is ambiguous, but Lord, you have given us your word here, and we can actually read it. What a privilege it is to be able to hear your voice. Lord, I pray, Lord, especially as we recognize that these are your words, that we wouldn't just get used to it and think we need something else. But Lord, as we dig in and dig deeper, may we find that this word is truth for us and it is good for us. May we chew on it. Lord, may we meditate upon it and may it change and transform us. That is why you have given it to us. Father, we do pray for our hearts that you would ready us. You would prepare us to be able to just receive it well, Lord. Lord, humble us. We are so prideful. Lord, we are always thinking that we know better. But Lord, you are God. You are God. And so, Lord, may we listen to your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you who have not been with us, we've been going through the book of Revelation, the churches of Revelation, and the messages that were communicated to these churches were a message that Jesus had for each of them. All right, Jesus is speaking through the Apostle Paul, or not the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. And as he's speaking to the Apostle John is sending out this message to the churches, and these messages are to be heard by them, all these people. And there's a specific message that he has for each of them. And we've been going through that. Each time we've been going through, there's a particular message that they're trying to get across to each of them. And we see here at the beginning of each message, this kind of word from Jesus to the particular church. And the church we have here is Sardis. And I just want to kind of summarize for you. The message to the church in Sardis is essentially this. Right, we've already here. That they are dead. I want you to meditate upon this. They are dead, not literally dead, but spiritually dead. They have stopped caring. Right? They have stopped trying. Right? Spiritually speaking, they are no longer following Jesus, and now they are only associated to Jesus by name only. There's a thing called nominalism, right? By name only. They don't really have this serious passion and desire to follow Christ, but simply they have the name Christian. They just have this name, Christian. And because they think they have this name, they think that it is enough. I'm going to show you this clip that I found. We'll watch it. I'm going to explain it afterward.
People say, I am the best boss. They go, God, we've never worked in a place like this before. You're hilarious. And you get the best out of us. I think that pretty much sums it up. I found it in Spencer Gifts.
See, as we're watching that, what is the joke in that clip? Is that he considers himself the world's best boss, right? He thinks he's the world's best boss, and yet it's probably not a title given to him by everybody else, and he's earned that kind of title, but instead it's self-given, and you see by the mug that he bought for himself, world's best boss, that it's probably not true of who he actually is. I want us to think about this. Do we, if you are a Christian, does your mug say follower of Christ? But then when we look at your life, when you look deeply into who you are and what you do every single day, it doesn't actually attest to what you do, who you are in reality. You know, are you a Christian by name only? Are you a follower of Christ by name only? Is it because you were simply born into it and so you were given this name? Maybe you grew up in the church and so you say to yourself, well, I guess I'm a Christian. But then in reality, your life does not follow the path of what Christ has laid out before us. You know, it doesn't match your works or your character. See, as Jesus speaks to this church in Sardis to wake up from spiritual death, to repent and to walk with him, he's saying, do not follow Christ. Do not be a Christian by name only, but repent, turn away, and actually follow and walk with me every single day. The first point that I have for you here is this, that Jesus knows the temperature of our hearts, of your hearts. Verse 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now, you are dead. See, Jesus is leading each of these churches, and the way he is overseeing them is by holding all of them in his sovereign hands. He knows exactly who they are and what they are doing, and he starts off very directly with this church in Sardis by saying he knows their works. He knows exactly what they're doing, and he knows the reputation of this church as one that is being alive, but in fact, they are dead. See, they had this reputation of themselves, that they were doing everything that needed to be done, but in reality, they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Jesus couldn't see the actual truth being lived out in their lives. See, this was the reputation that they had. See, one of the characteristics of this city of Sardis was that it was a once thriving city, and at one point, all kinds of people flocked to this place. And because it was a thriving city, it was made into a it was made an important city in that region. People had a lot of pride in what the city brought in. You know, city pride. We have hometown pride. A lot of people who lived in Sardis had this kind of pride. There was a glory that they held on to. But what happened is, at this time when it was being written, this city of Sardis was probably not in its prime anymore. The glory was long gone. All right, things were kind of decreasing. The value, property values were decreasing. There weren't as many people flocking to the city. And the reputation that they held on to was something that was long gone. You know, it kind of reminds me of people who are really into their hometown teams. And you know, whenever you win that Super Bowl or that championship, you buy that sweater. And even if that sweater is like 20 years old, you still hold on to that, wear it every single day, like Chicago Bears 1985. Hold on to that sweater. We know we're going to get back there, but I'm just going to keep wearing this until it happens again. And now it's been decades. You weren't even born at that time, right? You hold on to this reputation of things in the past, the glories of the past, and the people of Sardis held on to the glories of the past, thinking that that was actually their reality. You know, same thing in the church. It flowed in. The church held on to the glories of the past, the reputation of the past. As they looked back, they said, wow, didn't we do a good thing? Didn't we have a great thing? And by looking back to this reputation, they held on to it, even though that reality may not have been true at that time. You know, it's kind of like if you do a good thing or a bad thing one time, and it's a very important thing, it just lingers on throughout your whole life. You know, the whole thing with the Grammys, or what is it, the Academy Awards this past Sunday, right? You know, the whole issue, I don't know if you know this, but the best film was announced wrong. It was terrible. It was so awkward. I couldn't even watch it. But as it happened, right, no one knew, like, what was going on. There was so much confusion at the end, and they're like, who should we blame? And they found out at the end that the blame fell upon this company, PwC. Now, if you don't know who they are, if you're not familiar with accounting, they are one of the most reputable accounting firms in all time, right? They're so reputable. That's why they're part of this, this award ceremony. But one mistake of announcing the wrong winner, and now their reputation that they've built up over decades and decades is now tarnished. They got fired. No longer they can't go back to the Academy Awards anymore, right? They're fired from this. But it's one thing that happens, and your reputation lives on. It could also be for good things as well. You do one good thing, and that reputation can live on, even if you don't do any more good things in the future. Right? And this is what's happening in the church. Right? They became a Christian. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, all these people came into this region. They proclaimed the gospel. They heard it, and they converted to Christ. They converted as Christians. They were excited for the gospel, and they went out and proclaimed, and they witnessed to the faith. And as they did that, they thought, wow, what a great movement we had, but that movement didn't last very long. They lived off the reputation of the past. I want us to think about this because I think this is so indicative of the reality here today in the church, especially in the church today. Are you living off the glories of the past? You know, I think it's especially applicable for those of us who grew up in the church, right? You grew up in the church, and so you don't really take on the name of Christian because of all the things that have happened in your life and the sacrifices that you have made and the suffering that you went through, but instead, you receive this name Christian because it was just bestowed upon you. Maybe you don't even realize or recognize, am I really a Christian? Maybe you just think to yourself, well, I guess I'm a Christian because I go to church. My parents drag me along, so I guess I'm a Christian. What Jesus is saying is that you can't live off that reputation. You can't just live off that. There has to be more. Are you dead? You know, are you spiritually? Are you actually following Christ? Are you trying? Are you seeking to follow him? You know, when you take the temperature of your spiritual life today, you know, where are you standing? Where is it? Is it cold? Are you on fire for Christ? Do you recognize whether or not you are dead or alive? And Jesus is asking us, look deeper. He's asking the church, do you know? Don't just follow along with the path of everybody else. Don't just do what everybody else is doing, but look deeper. You know, as he convicts us, as he's trying to dig a little bit deeper into your sin, he says this in verse 2, this second point, Jesus calls us to revive our hearts. It says to wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. And Jesus says to wake up. Awaken the affections, is what I'll call it. Yeah, he's speaking to a people who are not yet dead, but they are dying, right? So they're not all the way dead, but they are in the midst of dying. You're on the verge of giving in, and then Jesus is telling you to wake up and stir up your affections for him, whatever else remains. You know, you're kind of on that last kind of bit of energy. You're standing on the ledge, and Jesus is saying, wake up out of that. You know, it reminds me when I was in school writing papers, and it's 3:30 a.m., and you've only written half of it, still got a long ways to go, and you know it's due at 9 a.m., and you have to turn it in, and you're sitting there, and you just get sleepy. And it's happened to me so many times. I'm sleepy and I'm just like, oh, I'm so tempted. Everything in my whole body wants to take a nap. Everything in me wants to take a nap. But you know if you're going to take a nap, you're going to be asleep for the next 12 hours. But everything in me wants to take a nap. But you know if it happens, it's gone. So what do? Everybody has different methods. I had a different method. Sometimes you splash cold water on yourself. For me, I would just slap myself silly, just keep slapping myself, trying to wake myself up. You know, do whatever it takes. Go outside, go for a run. Just do anything you can to awaken. in order to complete the work. You got to get it done. Are you going to give in? You know, your grades are important. You don't give in. Instead, you continue awakening yourself so that you can complete the task at hand. Jesus is saying, look, the work is not yet complete. The ministry is not yet complete. Jesus has gone and he's spoken this word and he wants to reach the nations. And he's saying it's not yet done. But why are you acting like it? Why are we acting like the work is done when it's not yet done? Awaken yourself. Right? Challenge yourself. Get up out of your seat and be awakened and go out from your spiritual sleepiness and preach. Are you sleepy? Some of you are literally very sleepy right now. Are you sleepy? Jesus says, awaken the affections. The work is not done. Secondly, he says this in verse 3, live with repentance. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. See, the church has heard what needs to be done, and as Christians, they're called to remember the gospel, right? Remember the gospel that Jesus saved them by dying on the cross for the sins, that he was resurrected, giving victory over death, and has now enlisted each and every one of them, those who have faith in Jesus Christ, enlisted them into discipleship as followers of Christ. And he's saying, remember this. But it's not just enough to remember. It's to listen to it. You know, as we are continuing to do all these things, it's not just enough to just listen, but it's to do it. You know, it's as if someone is asking you to do something. Right? They tell you, can you do this for me? And your response is, I hear what you are doing, or I hear what you are asking. You know, if you're married, you probably know what I'm talking about. I hear what you are saying, but I don't know if I'm actually going to do it, right? I hear it, I'm listening, but I'm not sure if I'm going to actually fulfill what you're asking. Right, see, this is what Jesus is saying. Remember then what you have received and heard, the gospel. Keep it. Keep it. Don't just simply listen and hear it, like as if you're doing now. I'm glad you're listening to what we're saying here, what the word is saying. It's not enough to listen. Keep it. And as you continue to keep it, we know we will fail. We will mess up. So Jesus says, and repent. Keep it and repent. And I believe the point here of repentance is so crucial. And I think what we have to understand about repentance is this, is that oftentimes we think of repentance as something that we have to ask God for forgiveness for big things, major things that we do wrong. And so we mess up or we sin and we feel so bad and we're convicted of it. And so God, we ask you for forgiveness for these things. But for most of us, we're not really thinking about the major things. We don't really have major sins that we feel like we're convicted about. Instead, in our lives, we may transgress in very little aspects of our lives. We compromise here and there, and we don't think it's that big of a deal. So we don't end up repenting all that often. But repentance is something that must be continuing on in our lives, even when it happens in the very little moments of our lives. And I would say even especially in the very little moments of our lives is when we should understand and truly go to repentance. Let me give you an example. You know, being healthy is not simply one choice. You know, a lot of us, we have the desire to be healthy. So we tell ourselves, I'm going to be healthy. But do you become healthy by saying, I'm going to become healthy? No, absolutely not. There is nothing that happens just by making the commitment of saying, I'm going to be healthy. But being healthy happens over a multitude of little choices. You know, I want to be healthy, and so this is what happens to me every single day I come back home. You know, I park in the garage, and my apartment is on the fourth floor. 10 steps to my left is a stairwell. 10 steps to my right is the elevator. And as I take those steps in the middle, no one's around, but I literally stand there waiting and pondering, should I take the stairs today or should I take the elevator? I know the elevator is bad for me. I'm lazy, and I don't feel like walking up the stairs, but I know the stairwell is good for me. I've been told even that little bit of exercise will help me. And I have to wrestle with that decision. But it's the culmination of those little choices that actually end up becoming a healthy lifestyle, right? It's the same thing with the Christian life. The Christian life is not about, I'm going to live for Jesus today and that's it, and just leave it alone. And when I'm not living for Jesus, I'm going to ask for repentance. Living the Christian life is a culmination of a tiny little choices that you're going to make every single day. Every single day you have tens, hundreds of choices that you're making. You have opportunities to follow Jesus. You have opportunities to compromise. In those choices that you're making, are you seeking Christ? Right? The person who cheats on their spouse, it's not one decision. I guarantee that. It's not one decision that was made. It's the culmination of a tiny little decisions of compromise that were made over a period of time. For you as well, when you sin against God, it's not just one moment. It's a culmination of a tiny, all tiny little moments throughout your life that you've already made, the choices you've made. Are you ready to repent for each of those things, to live a lifestyle of repentance? Thirdly, says here, stand in vigilance. Finishing up verse 3, if you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. It's simply saying this, that every day is a mini battle where we are learning to hear the words of our commander, Jesus. And part of our job is to be able to drown out the enemy noise and to listen to Jesus, right? To listen to Jesus, to see and hear from what he has, knowing that he's the one who actually has our best interests in mind. The enemy noise is trying to crowd everything else out, trying to crowd out the voice of Jesus and leading us astray. But Jesus is drawing us to salvation while the others is drawing us to judgment. See, we must understand that there is a battle. The church in Sardis has gotten sleepy in their faith. They stopped expressing their faith. They stopped witnessing to their faith. They don't worship all that much. They find other things more interesting in their lives. They find other things more exciting in their lives. And so what happens is no longer are they seeking to listen to Jesus and to bring his voice into their hearts. But now it is simply being drowned out by all the other things that are going on. That's why Jesus tells them, you're alive, right? Or their reputation is that one of being alive, but spiritually, they are dead. They're dead. There's nothing left there. How aware are you of the urgency of salvation? You know, I think this, that there is an eternity at hand. Right? Eternity at hand. Judgment is at hand, but for your working people, we treat it more like a Saturday morning than a Monday morning. Right? The alarm is going off, and rather than waking up, we just snooze. Jesus is saying judgment is at hand. Eternity is in the midst. Are you still sleepy? He's calling us to revive our hearts. Right, to be awakened, awaken our affections to repent and to stand vigilantly, to know that there's something at hand, not to forego it. Lastly, as he's challenging the people, as he's challenging us, he also gives us a promise. Jesus will keep us in his heart. Let me read for you verses 4-6. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In this church, there are those who have still not yet compromised, They're not compromised by the world, and they have not fallen asleep. And here's the important thing, and it's because they walk with Jesus. They walk with Jesus. It's not that they're making the biggest impact. Right? Jesus is not saying, you're the best Christians. He's not saying that to them. But he's saying they walk with him. When you walk with Jesus in this life, you will walk with Jesus in the next life. You know, there is the bracelet, right, that was popular a long time ago, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Right. I would say the better way to translate that, and I believe people have corrected it, but it was not what would Jesus do that should be asked of us, but it is to walk with Jesus daily. See, walk with Jesus daily. You don't have to be Jesus. You don't have to be Jesus. There is only one Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. But the challenge and the call is to walk with him daily. And as you walk with Jesus, you'll become more like him. You'll become more like him. You know, the more you spend time with someone, the more you'll be like them. You know, before I got married to my wife, people said we were opposites. Like, literally, they're like, you are opposite. You are so different from each other, right? You don't look anything alike. Your personalities are completely different. And they told us that. And I was like, it is pretty true. But then, as we've been married, like, people here started telling us we look alike. I don't know how that's true. I was thankful, right? My wife was a little offended, but I was thankful about it. But they said, we look alike. We act alike. We have the same kind of mannerisms. And actually, as we're living together, we have actually started to kind of adapt each other's mannerisms too. The more you spend time with someone, the more you'll be like them. Jesus is saying this, walk with me daily, and you will become more like me. You will become more like him. And Jesus says, as you walk with him, you will also be called worthy because he is worthy. Right. Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the Lamb who has been slain. Jesus was slain on the cross for our sins. And because he is worthy, because he died on the cross for our sins, God the Father called him worthy. If you walk with him, you also are called worthy. Not out of your own inherent worth, but because of Jesus' worth. You were called worthy. We didn't die on the cross, but we can be called worthy because of what Jesus did. And that is the promise that he gives to those who walk with him, that he will never blot you out from the book of life because your worthiness before God is given to you by Jesus. When you stand before God in heaven, you don't attest to your own works and your own worthiness. You attest to the worth of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain for me. And because I walk with him, I am called worthy by God. That is the promise that is given to us. That is the promise that Jesus has for us, that we are always in his heart. He will never let us go. Are you asking yourself this? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you really walking with him? Or are you simply just a name on a mug? Follower of Christ. Set it aside in the cupboard for the rest of your life. Jesus is saying there is a deadness that is infiltrating the church. A false sense of security and safety. Just stating that if we have this label that we are safe. Jesus saying, repent, wake up, walk with me daily. If you have stopped trying, if you have stopped caring, stop thinking about how you need to follow him, look to Jesus. Cling to him, for he is faithful to forgive if we repent. So as we look to him, as he is the good shepherd who has laid his life down for his sheep, may we, as the sheep, follow him to greener pastures and listen to his voice. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask and pray that you will help us to understand what is at stake here. Lord, we are often lost. We think we are safe. We think there is nothing left to do because we have taken on the name of Christian. But Lord, to take on that name is not simply to assign it to ourselves. But Lord, it is a name that is given to us by Jesus, the one who actually paid the price so that we could be called followers of Christ. Lord, if we are lax in our following of you, if we have stopped thinking and stopped caring and stopped trying, Lord, wake us up. Remind us of who you are and what you have done again so that we may experience again the truth and the glory of the gospel. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, we are going to